everyone. Welcome to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. A couple announcements before we get forward with the show. I want to remind you of some books that released today. At the top of my list, and the one I've been waiting for forever, is L.J. Rossi's Ebony Tide, part of the Josie Hawk Chronicles. I can't wait to dig into it. It just migrated to my Kindle like an hour ago. J.D. Rhodes released Fortunate Son. Heather Graham released Echoes of Evil. Charles Todd, The Forgotten Place. Susan Wingate, The Death of Vultures. Edward Willett, World Shaper. There is an anthology out that's edited by David James Keaton. Has some of the best crime fiction writers ever, called Dirty Boulevard. It's crime fiction based on the songs of Lou Reed. Can't wait to read that one. Andrew Gross released Button Man. Patty Fiala released her box set of eight authors called Love Under Siege. Deborah Webb, the glorious Deborah Webb, released Come Find Me. And Reed Coleman Farrell released his new Jess Parker book from Robert B. Parker's estate called Colorblind. I also want to remind you that there is a GoFundMe for Team Evie. Please go and donate. Evie is Dwayne's daughter. He is part of our crime writing community. She has leukemia and needed a bone marrow transplant, $30,000 of which they have to pay out of their pocket. Please go and help. Now, to get to my show, my guest is just a remarkable woman. I don't even know where to start. First of all, she's a singer. She likes all kinds of music, but I think she probably loves to sing country western. We're going to find out. She's a boot loving, shit kicking mama, and I think that's great. She writes urban fantasy, paranormal. She writes crime fiction. She is a graphic artist who designs the best book jackets. She designed Betrayed, our anthology that benefits the Naples Women's Shelter. She's also a contributor to that. Her most, I guess, most well-loved, I don't know, but it's, in my opinion, book, the Josie Hawk Chronicles, released today, Ebony Tide. I am so excited to welcome my friend L.J. Rossi to the show. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I am great, Pam. Thank you so much for having me.
I love having you on this show, and it's been a while. The last time we spoke is when you sent me the designs for Betrayed, and I was blown away by it. It was an amazing book cover. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I had a lot of fun working on that, and it's for, you know, a really great cause, which just, you know, it lent itself to, I mean, it's just so important to do those things and help each other out, and I was so glad that you chose me to help you with that.
Oh, I couldn't think of anybody else when we talked about book covers between all the contributors and the editors and the promotion people. I said, there's only one person we go to, and that's L.J. Rossi from EJR Digital Art, which is also, you have a new name for it, Everlight, correct?
Evernight Design.
Evernight, sorry. So yes. You can find EJR Art. no, yes, that's right.
Digital
on
Art.
The web,
yep.
On EJR Digital Art on the web, EJRDigitalArt.com, and you can also find her on Facebook. And I'm sure a million other places. Not only does she design book covers, she does web banners, swag, you name it, she does everything. And she's just magnificent, a graphic artist. But what we're
Thanks.
Here to talk about is your new book, Ebony Tide. I am so excited. How many times have I squeed today thinking, tonight I get to sit down and read Josie Hawk? It's been a little while since you wrote her.
It has been a little while. Josie was a little bit feisty and was not cooperating. So several times her and I had it out, and I'm just like, girl, you're on your own for a while. But I'm always drawn back to her, so I really wanted to finish this one. And it's not done yet, but I was really happy to finally. I knew what the story was going to be, and I just wanted to get it out there.
I'm so excited about this. You and I have talked off and on through the years about this character, and even had some really funny Facebook conversations because Josie's boyfriend is a vampire, and
yes, he is.
And he's a really sexy, sassy, protective vampire. And she's kind of like, yeah, I love the guy, but, you know, let me do my thing. Because she's
right.
a demon hunter. And he doesn't really like the fact that she's a demon hunter.
No. He wants to do it all for her, and Josie's not having it.
Tell everyone the kind of genesis of Josie and where she came from and where she's been and where she's going, please.
Yeah, for sure. Josie is a half-breed, which she struggles with, which I actually think a lot of people struggle with when they're not quite sure who they are, what they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to act like. But her father was a hunter, is a hunter, excuse me, and her mother was human. And her mother died pretty tragically, which actually comes up in this story quite a bit. So Josie, when you're in my story, my realm, hunters, every other generation has to pick a city to protect. And that's going to be their city forever. And for Josie, it was Nashville. It's Nashville because that happens to be my favorite little city in the world. I would move there in a heartbeat if I could. It's great people, great music, great food, great vibes. So anyway, it was a no-brainer for me to put her there. And she wants to protect the people in her city. She loves them as if they're all her own, and she stands up for what's right, and she takes care of business.
Not only that, she's a bartender, too, in the hottest club in town, isn't she? A bar owner.
She is, yeah. She owns it with her best friend, who is a vampire.
It's such a fun book. Even though it gets a little dark, it is a fun book because urban fantasy, to me, you just kind of can lose yourself to it and just give yourself up and enjoy the world that you've built.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have fun writing this book? Even though the whole series, the character, everything. Did you just let your imagination go crazy?
I do, and I like that she can say whatever she wants, whenever she wants. And, yeah, you know, there's repercussions sometimes. But for me, it's a big escape. I think that life in general, the world in general, is incredibly stressful every day. So when I get to sit down and do this stuff, I get to shut off everything else, the real stuff that's going on, and just concentrate on that and just let her do her thing and have some fun. And she gets to kill bad people.
Yeah, tell me more about it. Tell me more about how you develop this world, because this is some serious world building that you do. And, how did you define who Josie was?
Josie, plain and simple, Josie is who I want to be.
Ah.
So it was easy for me to put it in there and go, what if I could be the person I really want to be? How would I handle this situation? If vampires really did exist, which is a whole nother conversation, because I think they kind of do. If there was a true line between right and wrong, which side would I be on and how would I handle the business? That's who Josie is. She's me as a superhero. So that makes it, it makes it fun for me. It makes it easy for me. And like I said, the stuff that flies out of her mouth is the stuff that's in my head all day long that I have to bite off because, you know, in a professional setting, you don't always get to say what you want.
Well, this is true. She's pretty kick-ass, though. She's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
And I know that you're kind of like a boot-scootin', kick-ass mama, but you also have this really soft, girly side because you're not only this wonderful writer and graphic artist, but you're a mom, you're a pet owner, you're a wife, you're a sister to a bunch of other creative women. So I love how you've kind of blended yourself in. Do you think no matter what genre you write in, do authors put a little bit of themselves in their story or even a lot of themselves?
I can say yes from my experience, at least. I can say yes because my sister Beth Ciotta is an awesome author. She's been writing books for years, and even though she writes in many different genres and has, you know, these huge books, I go in and because I know her so well, I can go, oh, that's a little bit of Beth right there. That's a little bit of Beth. And then
really?
I have another sister who's an author, Vivian Moss, and, you know, her writing is very different than ours, but I look at it and I'm like, that's her. That's her pouring onto those pages. So for me and my family, I can say absolutely 100%. I think it would be hard not to do that in one fashion or another, or at least maybe if it's not you, it's somebody that you know really well. You may not name them, but they're probably in that book.
So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. I want to know, I mean, I love the character name, Josie Hawk. How do you decide on a character's name?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Sometimes I ask people because I don't want names that are so far out there that nobody can, you know, even say them or try. Who, everybody's got a different pronunciation for it. But
right,
I want
right.
something that's going to be catchy. So for Josie, I kind of knew I wanted Josephine because Keller has to call her Josephine to get on her nerves. I think, I don't know,
right.
Are you Pamela? Do you hate it when people call you Pamela?
Oh, I do.
It makes me crazy.
That was my dad
so
yelling,
have
you know.
When
if I was in trouble, it was Pamela for sure.
Exactly. Maybe even throw that middle name in there.
Right.
And then I just thought that Hawk was super strong as a last name.
Yes.
Keller actually comes from one of my girlfriends. Her last name was, her maiden name was Keller. And I just thought that was the best name. And then she's like, really, you named a vampire after my last name? Yep, I did. I stole it from you, and now he's Kellering. You've moved on.
I do like that name. For it's just unique enough for a vampire, an immortal, or whatever we're supposed to call him. You know, I like the name because it's just unusual enough, but it's just perfect for that particular character. And I get what you say about Hawk being a strong one. I like names that are strong too, like Black or Blackstone or Blackthorn.
Mm-hmm.
Or, do you like those kind of names too? Are you drawn to characters with those names?
Absolutely, I am. Yeah, I think they just kind of stick in your head, and especially when it just so suits that character. I mean, I love when people say, who's your book boyfriend? Oh, Jericho Barron, 100%, and his name just sticks in my head. I don't know if everybody knows who he is, but Karen Marie Moaning writes about Jericho Barron, and to me, he is the number one book boyfriend of all time.
Jericho's a great name.
You have one?
I've read, I do. It's a great one. I have several, but, you know.
You have several?
I don't have to tell you, you know, they are only book
bed.
Boyfriends after all. I have a lot of them.
True.
I mean, I'm endlessly fascinated by the character names and if they fit the storyline. Sometimes I think it doesn't, you know, the storyline doesn't fit the character in the book, and I have to stay focused so it doesn't pull me out of the story. So, does that make sense to you?
It does make sense.
So you have a very busy life. You are a wife, you're a mom of two absolutely exquisitely gorgeous kids. Your daughter is just magnificent. I can't believe
Thank
I've seen
you.
Her over the years now growing up, and your son is a handsome little girl. You're in trouble with him. Your daughter, you're just going to have to lock up in a castle someplace. So you're a mom, you are a writer, I know you sing now, not professionally anymore, but you do your book designs. When do you find the time to write?
Well, it's hard sometimes. I also work a full-time day job, so that's 4 to 5 days a week, depending. Many times right now I'm so happy to have hooked up with Kendall Gray, and we are doing critiques together, and every lunch hour she is so good to me. She lets me log into Skype, and we sit there and we have writing sprints every lunch hour. So, you know, over lunch I do it while I'm making dinner, while I'm waiting for water to boil. On the weekends is when I do most of my cover art, but after I typically sit there and work for 10 to 12 hours on the weekend, but you know, sometimes I'll cut it short and get a couple hours of writing in. So basically, it's whenever I get a chance. I get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and write a little bit then before everybody's getting ready for school. You just do what you do. And I, you know, everybody, lots of times, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Well, I worked, but I really, really love what I do. So it's
right.
Okay that I didn't go out to dinner or go out with friends And they, you know, a lot of people look at me like I have no life. But when you really, truly enjoy what you're doing, it is fun and it is living.
Well, your work becomes play, and they should be the same,
yes.
Quite honestly.
Yes.
You and I are kind of in the same boat. We're just, I think I have the best job in the world, and you think you have the best job in the world. Because when I say, okay, I have to go play now, I'm serious. When I go on the radio, mm-hmm. I love talking to writers. So, you know, I'm the biggest fan mm-hmm. girl there is. And So you're generally write paranormal and urban fantasy, but you're not beyond writing something else. You don't mind jumping into the fray and taking a stab at just about everything there is, right?
No, I love it. I read everything, and I do very much enjoy writing everything. Business-wise, it might not be the smartest thing, but creatively, can't even say the word right now, but that's okay. You know, it just keeps me going. I love contemporary romance, and I like thrillers and suspense and horror. I was surprised that I ever wanted to write a horror. I would never watch a horror movie. They scare the crap out of me, but writing it is actually a lot of fun.
But it's not that far removed, really, from paranormal and urban fantasy and thriller.
It really is.
It's a step away, and it's just, where do you want to go with it? Do you want to go to the psychological part of horror?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to write
mm-hmm.
the gory, bloody part of it? And, you know, there are a lot of different ways you can approach it. I myself am a big chicken, and even psychological thrillers sometimes scare me.
I think they're scarier than gore.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, I find myself sometimes waking up in the middle of the night thinking about a story I've read, and mm-hmm. then I immediately have to go and read like contemporary romance so that I can kind of scrub that from my brain and start all over again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you read everything, don't you?
I do.
So.
Yeah, I do all the time.
I'm going to call you out on this, and this is kind of, you know, it's like picking which baby you like the best. In each of the genres, other than your sister, Beth Sieta, who I adore, as you well know,
mm-hmm.
Who do you really like reading in each of the different genres? You can name several.
Great. Yeah, no, I love, for urban fantasy, I really do love Karen Marie Moaning, Amanda Bonilla. For paranormal romance, I love Gina Showalter, Cressley Cole.
Of course.
I mean, there really are so many.
Yeah.
For contemporary romance, I think my go-to is Jill Shalvis. I absolutely love her writing style. She cracks me up, but then they're super sexy. Her characters are top-notch, so for sure she's my go-to for contemporary. I love Erin McCarthy. I really like her new adult stuff. Probably is the best for me. Thrillers, that's a little hard. I don't always remember all the names, which stink. But Tammy Hoag, I really like her.
Yep.
There's just so many, and
there's
then so many new to me that.
Right.
Like, oh, I need more time.
I have an embarrassment of riches like that too, that there are so many across the board that I love to read. And since, you know, it's just me and my little small life with my cats and no
mm-hmm.
TV, I get to read a lot. So, I love reading new stuff, and I'm going to make a recommendation right now, if you'll excuse me, besides your book. I'm reading the first book I read in this series is called The Awkward Squad. It is by a French writer named Sophie, and I'm not sure how to say her last name, Henaff, H-E-N-A-F-F, and it's translated. Her second book just came out. It's called Stick Together. I swear to God, it is one of the best books I've read in ages. You sometimes have to step out of your comfort zone and try new people.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoy that. I'm gonna send you I'll send you the arc of it so you can read it. I think you'll get a kick out of it. It's a lot of fun. I also like Naomi Novik for fantasy, and I read her book Uprooted, and she has another book out now. Uprooted was amazing. It was a Nebula and Hugo Award winning book. Charlie Jane Anders, I love her too. There are a lot of them. Don't ask me about thrillers. I could go on for for days talking about who I like in thriller. Same way with romance. And, you know, I started reading romance because of your sister, because of Beth. Someone turned me on to her books, and I just went crazy. And it was before I was doing the show, and I'd walk down the street to the library that was brand new, and I said, how many books can I take out? And they said, well, you can take out 50 books a month. So I took every single one of Beth's books that the library had and then ordered the rest of them and read all her books. And that's how I got turned on to contemporary romance.
That's hilarious.
I swear to God. And then, of course, I met you through Beth and started reading your stuff. And now I'm a Josie Hawk fanatic and all of your stuff. Great.
Thank you.
So you've written how many books now, baby?
You know what? People ask me that, and I don't even know. But there's several short stories and anthologies, too. So I think I'm close to 11 or 12.
When you look back at your very first book, which was, what was your first book that published?
The Luminary.
And you look today at Ebony Tide. What did you learn about yourself?
That there's so much to learn all the time.
Really?
Every day. Yeah.
What did you find out
about
you? What did you find out about you?
That I'm a doer. That I keep going until I get things done. That I have to be creative. You know, I stopped singing many years ago, and to me, that's still my first love. But then I sat there for probably a year or two and thought, I don't even feel like me anymore because there's nothing creative going on. There's no arts. There's nothing. So Beth, once again, she was the one who actually said, why don't you give writing a try? And I thought that was hilarious. Why would I ever do that? I've never written anything. I read, but I don't write. In school, nothing. I never had any interest in that. She's like, just give it a try. I did, and I was horrible. And then I was horrible some more, but I kept going because I was having fun with it, and I was getting to use my imagination and be creative. But then the bigger part of it was the community. I have never, even in, this goes above, for me, the music community, because I feel that that's a lot more competition.
Sure, it's cutthroat.
A little bit more cutthroat. It is.
Right.
It is. And there's great people in the music community, don't get me wrong, but there is something about the book community that's very different.
Isn't it interesting the water raises all boats? You know, the higher the tide, all boats rise up also. And so, therefore, if one succeeds, it kind of lifts everybody else up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it does. And how willing people are to answer questions and to help out. They don't have to do that. They don't, but they step up every single day and help.
You know, there was
and
a
help
terrific,
promote.
There was a terrific show last week on NPR on 1A, and they were talking about romance writers. And I wanted to call in and say, wait, let me give you a list of romance writers that I know who write in contemporary, fantasy, paranormal. And I knew that if that was the case, I'd be on the phone for like 4 hours.
Right.
Because there are just so many. It is such – I'll tell you a funny story. Hugh Howey is, you know, a kind of a dystopian thriller writer and all. He went to an RWA meeting in Florida where he used to live. And he said he felt like he was nursing at his mother's bosom. He never felt so safe, like he was in the womb. He said, those women are great. Those romance writer women are really amazing. They just love you. And I said, this is true. I was very lucky to go to an RWA National last year, which was in Orlando. And it's true. There's never a scuffle. There's never an argument. It is nothing but just overwhelming support and love, even for readers. And that's what RWA is. It's about readers. So I can see why you love the community for sure. But But come over to the dark side once in a while and pop in on us, you know, thriller people too. And I think you'll find they're every bit as, they probably drink a little bit more, but they're every bit as supportive.
I'll be right over.
There you go.
Right over.
Okay, so
yeah.
Here's the question of the evening. You and I have been doing a hashtag BIC sis for years now.
Yeah.
For anybody listening, here you go. Here's the contest. We're going to tell you what BIC sis means, and the first person to post on either Elle or my page and tell us what it means is going to get a copy of Elle's new book, Ebony Tide. What is BIC sis?
It's like it's the go-to for whenever we need to have a moment. It is.
It is
Bailey's Irish Cream, and you're
it
my
is,
sister.
It is indeed. And it's us.
I mean, it's
I don't
good
know
for
anyone who
lunch, dinner, after
really?
Dinner. It goes good with ice cream. It's fantastic in coffee. It's great on strawberries and the shortcake. Have you tried it over that?
Yes, on everything, girlfriend. I could lick it off
everything.
Some vampire's fingers and be happy.
That too. That too.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Hashtag BIC sis is the Bailey's Irish Cream sis. And Elle and I have been singing praises about Bailey's Irish Cream for years now.
crazy. We have. And I've tried all the flavors now. Have you tried them all?
I have, but you know, I kind of like the original. I don't know.
I know. Yeah, I'm the same. I go back to the original. I'll try them, but I go back to the original every time.
And by the by, when we meet, I'm going to make you from scratch Bailey's Irish Cream. It'll be Pammy's Irish
what?
Cream now. Oh, yeah, I have the recipe, girlfriend. Yeah.
I can totally
My
see you.
Brother.
You wear an apron when you're, like, stirring the pot.
No, honey, I have a little glass next to me just to test it because, you know, you've got to taste test everything you make, right?
That's true. That's true.
My brother actually saw me posting to you about Bailey's Irish Cream and said, well, here's the recipe for it, and he sent it to me. Now, my brother is not, you know, he's not a romance reader or anything, but he saw my page when I said, you know, Bailey's Irish Cream. So he sent me the recipe,
yeah.
And I have been making that for gifts for Christmas for years. If we only
That's
were...
fantastic.
I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
Right.
I'm going to drink it.
I know you will, and I'll be tipping a glass
yeah.
to you. Okay. I want to talk to you about book jackets. You're not... Your day job is not doing graphic art. However...
It's
you
not.
Have an eye for doing covers and for doing art and for creating banners and doing teasers and ads and all that. Where does that come from, Elle?
Good question. I don't know exactly. I know how it got started, but I don't know where the eye comes other than really I am constantly at bookstores just absorbing everything that's there and checking out what draws my eye. Why does it draw my eye? And then I'll be at the grocery store and which cereal box do I think is the best cereal box? Why? What colors?
You're very visual.
Sort of
in other words, you're yep. so visual about things. Tell me how it got started.
It got started by actually my very good friend, Rachel Aukus, who is a fabulous writer of many genres as well. But when I was writing Broken Flight, which was years ago, she sent me what she called a mock cover. She said, I just made this. I was just playing around on the computer, and I made this for you just so you'd have some inspiration so you make sure to get that book done. And it was just really cool. I had never thought about something like that. So I said, well, I'm going to make one for my next one. And then I just started playing around, and then it grew from there. And then, you know, I had an author friend going, hey, I really like what you did here. Can you make me one? So then it just got to a lot of studying, a lot of trial and error. And then I love it. So that's what I do now. I really do. I sit there on Goodreads or Amazon or Barnes and Noble and look at book covers all day long when I have downtime. It's fun. Sometimes I buy books just for the covers and never open them.
You know, isn't that interesting you say that? There are books that have stopped me in my tracks because of the cover. I always think if someone takes that much time to design a great book cover, they probably took that much time to write a great book. And I am rarely disappointed. Rarely.
Yeah, I agree.
And with a million books plus being printed every single year, or being published, I should say, a book cover is one of the, it's actually, you can judge a book by its cover, can't you?
Oh, I was just going to say that I hate that that saying ever became a thing, because how do you not?
Exactly.
We're human. That's what we do. And I'm sorry, if you hold up one that really draws my eye against one that's really lackluster, which one am I going to grab? And the one that's lackluster may have better words inside, but I'll never know. I'll never know.
You know, I feel the same way. I was recently approached by someone who does book covers by Photoshop. And I thought, you know, writing a book is like owning a little small business. So let's say you're opening on the corner of Main Street. You're not going to just go out with a crayon and markers and say, okay, I'm open, come in and look at my business. You really want to draw them in. And that's essentially what writers are. You are a small business, aren't you?
Correct. Yep, absolutely. Sometimes you're a big business if you get lucky.
Well, and that's true. But still, you got a crappy looking cover, people are really not going to buy you. I mean, it, you know, I know where this saying came from, and I recognize, you know, don't judge people by how they look.
Correct.
But don't judge a book by its cover. I think you can. And in this day, we all are, day and age, we all are very blessed to have lots of books to choose from. Why not make it sparkle?
That's right. A little glitter.
Yeah, a lot of glitter. Tell us, everybody, where they can find you on the webs. All your little, your books, your art, you know, everything. We want to hear everything.
Yeah, for sure. So my author website is ljrossi.com. You can find everything you need to know there, all the links to all the retail stores. I am on Instagram as ljrossi. Twitter, though I don't tweet that often, is ljrossi. Facebook, LJ Rossi author. And then for cover design, I do still have my ejrdigitalart.com up and running, but it will be switching over to Evernight Designs, which I'm really proud of how that website turned out. So that's evernightdesigns.com. It's the same. It's me. It's the same me. I just felt that we needed just a makeover. It was time. It's been quite a few years.
And
got to get with the time.
I do want to say in full disclosure that Evernight is a sponsor for the Authors on the Air Press. They are Elle designed the cover for our anthology Betrayed. She will be designing more books as Authors on the Air Press does more anthologies, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful. I can't thank you enough. And by the way, your short story in Betrayed had a big cliffhanger.
They know. It's also the only paranormal one in there.
And here I am tapping my toes saying, well, what the heck happened? Am I ever going to figure it out?
You are going to figure it out. I just don't know when. It's actually, The Luminary was the first book that was published, and it was supposed to be a trilogy, and The Soother came shortly after that. So this book, the short story that's in there, is kind of the beginning of that, and it does have that cliffhanger. So I do need to wrap up that trilogy, and I love those characters, so I do want to finish it.
I do too. It was so dark and so, and I was freaked out so much because it was such a great story. We've had so many comments on what a wonderful story. If you're wondering what we're talking about, Authors on the Air Press ask 21 authors to contribute short stories to Betrayed the Anthology, which you can find right now if you're in Kindle Unlimited. It's free. And Elle provided a story that was so amazing. She actually titled our book for us, too. It was Betrayed, Kick-Ass Stories. Let's see, what was it? Tell me again. It was Powerful Stories of Kick-Ass Crime Survivors. I just stopped and think about it. Elle's the one who gave us our subtitle. It was so good. And when we were talking about it, she said, well, that's what we're going to call it. And I said, okay, works for me. I'm just the publisher. Let her do it. She's the creative. I'm happy with that. Thank you so much for doing that. But I want the rest of the story. I want the rest of the story. Okay, so what do you do in your spare time? Spare time.
I don't really have that much, but I like to hang out with my kids. My son's a baseball player, so go to all his baseball games. My daughter is an inline skater, so I like to watch her. She's also learning a lot.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing
doing
too.
That.
She's great.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. She's 16 now, and you know that comes with its own set of challenges. 16? But
really?
Know, just hang out 16? With family. Yep, she's 16.
Mm-hmm. God, I can't believe
it.
Oh my God. Are you still singing to karaoke and dancing around your kitchen?
Yep. My favorite thing to do, the ugly dancing, though. You can't dance for real. You just got to make it big and ugly. That way everybody judges you without really judging you, you know.
So
here's
my last question to you. Would you come back and guest host with one of your favorite authors?
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah?
Wouldn't
it be? Who do you want? Who's one of your favorite authors? Think about it.
Are you going to talk to Heather Graham soon?
Heather is coming on next week.
Yeah, talk to her about it. We do good together.
All right. I see Heather all the time. Heather and I used to live real close to each other when I was in Miami. So she did a mini master class when I was at BoucherCon, and she did another one at Thriller Fest, and then she did another one at RWA. So think about somebody else in case she can't come on at the same time you're available, because I think I have a daytime show with her. Pick one of your favorite people. Let's get you on and do an in-conversation author to author. How about that?
Oh, that would be fun.
It would be.
Yeah, I can do it. Mm-hmm.
LJ Rossi, the new book is Ebony Tide. I cannot thank you enough, my darling friend, for being here. I love your writing. I love your covers. I love everything about you, my big sis. And let's talk soon, shall we?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, thank you for being with me. I actually am going to come back on Friday because there just is not enough time to talk to really cool people. I'll talk to you on Friday. And everybody, have a great evening. LJ Rossi, I love you. And thank you, Mom and Dad.
Back.
Good night, everyone. Bye.